Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Joining us now on the BetQL guest line, it's Mike Prada, founder of Bullets Forever. You guys have been reading his stuff for a long time if you are Wizards fans. You can check out his Substack, mikeprada.substack.com. Mike, I was on your Twitter page earlier today, and you had a tweet that I think captured the essence of where a lot of Wizards fans are. Feeling good vibes about this Wizards team. I think they'll be fun to watch. I think Wes Jr. will be a good coach. I think Spencer Dinwiddie is a stealth all-star candidate. I think that Russ trade was a masterstroke. I'm also kind of scared about my optimism, and that is spoken like a true Wizards fan over these last couple of years. What is it that gives you some sense of optimism? Obviously, there's a lot of little things that you're some of them big things that you point to in there. But why do you think it comes together in this scary feeling that Wizards fans are accustomed to and accustomed to eventually having burn them?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the trepidation is like a huge mystery to anyone who's followed this franchise for the last 40 years. So the trepidation certainly makes sense. The other element of trepidation I have is that I wonder if this is perhaps like kind of an overcorrection to last year, which was frankly a team that I did not enjoy very much. You know, I think it was, I don't know if you were around here for the Michael Jordan era back in like 2003, but it felt like one of those years where nationally it's like, oh, look, you've got this big star and like he's still doing his thing. But like he's kind of hijacking the team and it's sort of built in his image. And the difference, of course, is Bradley Beal was there, but it felt more like a national team playing in a local, sort of plopped down into a local market. This year's team, I think, feels a little more organic. It feels like a team that was built with like the objective of kind of an actual team in mind. Beal is now the sole star. Players that support him. It feels like there's a lot of depth pieces here, a lot of interesting young players, a lot of players who have the potential to break out. I like what I've read about Wes Unseld Jr. so far and what I've kind of heard. You know, it seems like he's the type of low-key, detail-oriented coach that's able to kind of bring together a team that has a lot of interesting parts, but, you know, maybe not a great hierarchy. And, you know, to be honest, I just think it's kind of a breath of fresh air from last year where it just felt like the entire conversation centered around Russ and Beal. And it was like kind of a team where they were all that we could talk about. You know, what they did mattered. That was it. And then this year, it like kind of feels more like a real basketball team, you know, with shooters and with multiple playmakers and with depth and with sort of a sharing of responsibility. And, you know, the reason that there's trepidation about that is that I just wonder if that's a bit of an overcorrection to last year. And like, stars do still win this league. So, you know, maybe it just sort of adds up to nothing special. But I have a pretty good feeling that I will at least enjoy watching them play. And I think that in the regular season, which is a grind more so than it is sort of like your top end talent, that depth and that sort of togetherness that seems to be there right now will play out into them overachieving.
Yeah, I think that what's so fascinating about this roster, especially compared to last year, is it actually makes sense. Like, it fits, and unlike, say, the Lakers, who we saw lose in their opener last night, Clearly, Tommy Shepard and his team identified Bradley Beal as the centerpiece. Obviously, didn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. And they surrounded him with pieces that should maximize his ability and unlock ability in others. Is there a particular piece, and you mentioned Dinwiddie in that tweet, but is there a particular piece that you think could have a career-type year? And not just that from like a statistical standpoint, but massively affect winning for this club?
Yeah, I think Dinwiddie's looking really good so far. You know, he's always been kind of one of the NBA's more underrated players, someone that a lot of the people who really watch closely, a lot of the advanced stats people really liked for his work in Brooklyn. He was just sort of a little lost in the shuffle, suffered that torn ACL last year, but it seems like he's recovered pretty well. You know, I think there was some reports that he was even thinking of playing in the playoffs had the Nets advanced. So, you know, he just looks like a really solid player. He gets to the rack really well. Kind of the guy I think about a lot with him is like what Antonio Daniels used to do back in the day with the Gil teams, just his ability to get to the line and draw free throws, finish. Really underrated passer. Has a lot of experience playing in more of a spread out, pick and roll, like kind of go type of team. His defense has been really terrific so far. And I think he's a better shooter than his percentage has showed. I think he had to do a lot of self-creation on the Nets. That dragged down his three-point shooting. It seems like he can play with Beal. And more importantly, he can anchor bench units, you know. So I think that he's always been a really underrated player. And I think this is the first time he's really had a chance to actually be the starting no-brainer point guard on a team. And I think he still retains a lot of those qualities that make him good when Beal is out of the game. So I actually, you know, think that he's going to really open some eyes this year. He's kind of everything that Russ isn't, for better or for worse. You know, he's certainly not as dynamic a offensive player, driver, aggressive, you know, call a bunch of plays for them and they can sort of nudge you to something better than you are late in the year, that energy burst. But he's just solid. He does a lot of really good things, he does a lot of things pretty well, and I think that this might be a big breakout year for him. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised, honestly. You know, this is something I've been thinking about a little bit. Maybe I'm getting a little high on preseason, having watched them both. I wouldn't be surprised if his net rating is better than Bradley Beal's.
Because he gets to play with those bench units where he's going to anchor, and they've actually got decent depth this year?
Yeah, and I think they need him more. You know, they have less behind him. You know, they play similar positions, him and Beal, but they have more guys on the perimeter that they can rely on. You know, you have Caldwell Pope. But Dinwiddie, I think, his collection of skills is much more important to this team, considering who they have behind them. Nets had a really good year last year, but they'd be asking to do too much. You know, he played really well with Russ. Aaron Holiday is so up and down. I think if they lose Dinwiddie for an extended period of time, that could really hurt them. And I think because of that, his ability to sort of stitch a bunch of different lineups together, I think his net rating will look a lot better than Brad's.
Interesting. Mike Prada with us here on 106.7 The Fan. You talked a little bit about Wes Unseld Jr. What is he as a coach? What changes can we expect to see if, you know, folks that are not locked in on preseason basketball, they see Wes Unseld coach for the first time and take it in over the next couple of weeks? Like, what does this Wizards team look like because of him?
You know, everybody who talks about him talks about someone who is incredibly meticulous, incredibly detail-oriented, but perhaps not the most vocal self-promoter or vocal sort of, he's very low key. And I think that maybe has prevented him from getting this opportunity sooner, given how he really has paid his dues. I know everybody looks at his last name, but he's been an assistant this league for where it started, I think in 1997 was his first year with the Wizards. Wow. In the day, I think certainly he's been an assistant, I think since 2005, I want to say. So he's been around a lot. I think it's a good fit with this team. Schematically, what I think you're going to see is, and it's hard to know whether this is Wes or whether this is just a different roster, they're going to play faster. They're going to play in more space. It's going to be a much more egalitarian style of play, you know. And defensively, I would expect them to be more aggressive than they were last year. Last year, I think they started off playing a little higher to the ball, and then they realized it totally didn't work, and so they played a much more traditional drop defense with, you know, those three centers back to protect the rim and all that. Here, I think they're going to be, you know, Denver was a much more aggressive team at the point of attack. Nikola Jokic like to come up to the level of the ball screen. We've seen a lot of that in the preseason. I would expect that to happen. And what that may result in is that there will be some nights where it looks really good and some nights where they get lit up. because I'm not sure. It asks a lot of guys on the back end guard, because you have your big coming up to trap the ball. You know, it asks a lot of guys like Bradley Beal, like Kuzma, these guys to be rotating behind them, and that's asking a lot. But I would expect more aggression there, and just a more egalitarian, quick pace, a lot of threes. They took a ton of threes in the preseason. That's what I would expect, and I think there will be some nights where they really light it up, and there will be some nights where they're really cold, and it will feel inconsistent. But the style of play will be the same. It's just that the shots will go in some nights and it won't on other nights.
Such is life, a make-or-miss league, as many people have said. Daniel Gafford was a revelation last year in the second half of the year for them. Played really well with Russ, frankly, the ability to get downhill, be that lob guy. And the Wizards signed him to an extension this week. Was that premature in any way, or do you think that they've locked in a guy over the long term who will look like a bargain as this contract goes on?
Yeah, that's a good question. It was early. It was unexpected to me. But it was a very good price. I mean, he's basically getting the same amount of money as Thomas Bryant got, maybe one more year. And he was on like an incredibly dirt cheap contract. And there's very clearly a role for him in the league as it is right now, you know, as sort of this lob threat, shot blocker type. You know, whether that makes him a frontline starter, I think is still to be determined. You know, I'm very curious to see how he fits in with this more aggressive style of defense, you know, that West plays compared to the more drop defense that they were playing last year. Certainly fouling is still an issue. Defensive rebounding, I think, is going to be a major concern for them, this team, and for him. But I think there's too much he brings to the table for this to feel like, oh, wow, they really shelled out way too much money here. I think it's a pretty decent gamble. Now, whether he becomes that frontline starter, I'm just not sure. It remains to be seen. You know, they have someone like Montrezl Harrell, I think, is going to play a ton of minutes this year because I think Gafford's going to be in foul trouble. And I think maybe we may need to slow our roll a little bit on, you know, his dramatic upside. I think there were in some ways, he was protected a little bit last year where he won't be this year in the starting lineup. But it still doesn't feel like a huge overpay at this point. And at the worst, you have somebody who can play 20, 24 minutes and really change games with his energy and athleticism. And that's a decent piece to have for that price anyway.
Yeah, and you mentioned the similarity to Bryant's contract. Like, that's the guy that everyone's super excited about going into last year. So I'm curious how Unseld balances those guys out, as well as Harrell and some of the other guys they brought in.
Yeah, I mean, Bryant's out till what, January probably? He's not going to play for a while. So the problem may solve itself. Either way, I think Montrezl Harrell is going to have a big role in this team. Whether that's good for the Wizards long term, I guess, remains to be seen. But I expect him to have a very strong year. It seems like this is a mix, a fit, a style that's more suited to his skill set than the Lakers ever were. And as far as whether Gafford or Bryant will get that job, you know, it is a concern, I think, if you're from Thomas Bryant's camp that Gafford has emerged. You know, I wonder what you're going to show. But they also are different players. You know, Bryant is much more of a perimeter-oriented screen setter, dribble handoff guy, and Gafford is wants to roll the rim and dunk on you every time. So there may long-term be a role for both of them. I just don't know if this is the year that we're really going to see answer that question.
Last question for Mike Prada here on the BetQL guest line. Craig Hoffman with you for overtime tonight. The Ben Simmons situation is beyond messy in Philly. We'll keep it local here to be nice. Like, we could do an hour. Let's be like Frank. We could do an hour on the Simmons thing league wide. What it means for Philly.
I'm so done with it.
I'll keep it quick. If you're the Wizards, are you at all interested in that guy? Because from a basketball standpoint, I think it's a pretty fascinating fit if they don't have to give up Beal, which I think at this point pretty obvious they wouldn't have to do.
Yeah, I think it's something worth monitoring. It seems like it is a good fit with their style, but I think at this point, more to the point, the Wizards are in a situation where they can kind of pivot in either direction depending on how they start. You know, they could trade Brad and commit to rebuild. They don't have a super ton on the books in the future, or they could consolidate and upgrade. And right now, I think they need to see what they have first, and then kind of go from there. There will be other Ben Simmonses on the market. But in the interim, yeah, I think it could be a potentially interesting fit. There seems to be a lot there with Ben Simmons, to put it nicely. And I don't know enough of what's really going through his head right now. But in theory, it is a good stylistic fit, assuming that you're no longer going to have guys like Rui Hachimura or the big logjam at forward. But, you know, it's worth keeping an eye on, I guess. But I wouldn't go gung-ho trying to make that trade right now. I'd like to find out more about what I actually have this year. There are a lot of new players, new coach. I just want to see it for a little bit and kind of evaluate from there.
Fair enough. Mike Prada, you follow him on Twitter as well. Make sure that you do that. Check out all of his stuff. And still got that book coming, from what I understand. So good luck as you continue to get that, get going on all the schematics and X's and O's in the NBA. Excited for that to come out and dive deeper. Mike Prada with us here on Overtime on the Fan. Mike, always appreciate the time. This was great.
Thanks for having me.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Craig Hoffman with you on Overtime on the Fan. You'll hear from Logan Paulson in the next segment coming up at 8:30. And Vic, my producer tonight, the fearless Vic Ferreira, has someone very close to him who can't stop locking his or her keys in the car. Scientific investigation is coming at 8:45 because these are the things that we need to solve. Why does this keep happening? And how does Vic maintain sanity? These are the things that we must figure out. But real quick, let's talk some hoops on the back end of Mike Prada here. If you missed it, you can always hit the rewind button on the Odyssey app. Catch back up. Use the commercial breaks. Actually, no. Listen to all the commercial breaks. There's great stuff there. Please don't get mad at me, salespeople. So anyway, the point is the Wizards are a really well-built basketball team. And I think that's the thing that Mike pointed out that I take away from that. Our chat and one that I think also they are well built and well equipped to move forward and potentially make moves. Like they don't even have Rui Hachimura yet, but they've already got a great 10-man rotation, and we're already seeing Wes Unseld Jr. use it tonight. There's 10 guys that have played midway through the second quarter. You've got Kuzma, Gafford, Dinwiddie, Beal, Caldwell Pope, Advia, Harrell, Neto, Bertans, and Holiday all have played as part of the rotation tonight. And the fact that a guy like Denny Avia in his second year is going to be in a role that, say, Davis Bertans was last year, and Bertans slides down to like an eighth, ninth guy, and become, or really a ninth, tenth guy, and becomes more of a luxury, the nights where he's on fire, you play him and you give him a million shots and you ride that to victory. And on nights where he's terrible, you go, hey, dude, see you tomorrow. Like, that's a huge luxury that Wes Unseld Jr. has that Scott Brooks didn't have last year. And that's not a defense of Scott Brooks. I was fairly on the record for 5 years saying that I didn't think he's that great. But like from a personnel standpoint, Tommy Shepard deserves a ton of credit for having a variety of guys. Because the same, by the way, could on some level be said for Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Now, Caldwell-Pope's a decent defender. Some nights a really good defender. So he is a much more 3-and-D guy than like the idea that Bertans is, where he's just a sometimes 3 guy. But when Avia, who you expect to continue to grow in his second year, is like your backup wing to a guy like Kuzma, and you also got Achimura in the mix, now you've got a rotation of guys that on any given night you can plug a couple more minutes to one, the other, you see who's playing well, you play the matchups, and come closing time in the fourth quarter, you got yourself some options. And so it's a really well-built team. And, you know, if they do want to flip a couple of those guys, if all of a sudden like Ben Simmons does get on their radar, or, you know, whoever else might become available and want to come play with Bradley Beal, you know, as the season goes on, and, you know, there's a big deadline on December 15th that allows a lot more players in the league, basically anyone who signed this past off season, to be traded, all those guys become available. And so, like right now, you couldn't put Aaron Holiday in a deal, theoretically, not that this is imminent, but just saying, like, after December 15th, as the season plays out, if another superstar besides Simmons becomes available, then you got guys where you could feel like you can trade a couple of guys away and not leave Bradley Beal plus new superstar and a barren bench behind them. And that doesn't even include guys like Kispert, the rookie, Todd, you know, again, another rookie. You know, you have these guys that you think are going to be good players for you eventually, but for right now, they can afford to just, you know, get better at practice every day, observe the league, and, you know, a couple times a week get into some games and get some minutes. So I'm excited for this Wizards team. I think they're going to be fun to watch, and they're off to a great start, 12-point lead midway through the second quarter in Toronto. When we get back, Logan Paulson's thoughts as he's watched the tape, looking at this offense. I've been texting a little bit with Logan too, so we'll go. I can add a little more insight from my my co-host on the pregame show, Logan Paulson. His thoughts from earlier today on Grant Danny on this Washington football team offense, and then a overtime investigation coming up at 8:45. Craig Hoffman with you on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Craig Hoffman with you on 106.7 The Fan, our overtime investigation on a very serious topic coming up in 15 minutes. Did I not get through that without laughing enough to get across that was sarcasm, Vic? Are you prepared for this investigation?
Very prepared. I've been doing some digging up here.
Yeah, I think you're a little overprepared, actually.
Yeah, absolutely.
That'll make more sense in 15 minutes. Ooh, the mystery. All right, so a little more Washington football talk here on The Fan. We did a lot of that, obviously, to start the show. If you'd like to rewind and check out any of that, the Odyssey app is your friend. Make sure you've downloaded it. It is the best way to listen to all of our shows, original podcasts, stations from all around the country, and again, one of my favorite features. I use it all the time. If I miss an interview, like if I miss Terry McLaurin on Monday with Grant and Danny, and it's like 5 o'clock and he's on at 4, I just go in, I rewind to 4 o'clock, and bang, I don't have to wait for anyone to put up a podcast. I don't have to wait for anything. I can just go listen on demand anything within the last 24 hours. So if you miss Michael Phillips, 7 o'clock, he was great. Go back, listen. If you want my open to the show today, basically the short version is, what are they doing? Go back to 6:30. I said it much better than that. Anyway, Logan Paulson, he was on Grant and Danny. You could rewind to that interview, or you could just listen for some of the highlights right now. Unless you consider the highlights the Pokemon talk, that you're going to have to listen to the interview for. But Logan's watched the tape of Sunday's game against the Chiefs, and he has some thoughts on the schematics and how they're affecting the quarterback. And I think they're worth listening to. Logan is obviously an incredibly smart guy. I get the great fortune of doing pregame with him. Chris Russell will be in for me on Sunday. My sister's getting married this weekend, so I will be unavailable. But Russell, next man up, ready to go. Be live at 10 o'clock with Logan. But Logan was asked about what he sees from specifically from Scott Turner. We'll get to the Taylor Heinicke part. But from a schematic standpoint, what does he see? Is the offensive coordinator giving this team enough, giving the players enough to be successful?
Sometimes when I see him calling plays, I just see kind of an unimaginative offense. Like when I watch the LA Rams, for example, they really work hard to scheme guys open. They do a good job. Sean does a good job of finding ways to get guys open. Same thing with Kyle up in San Francisco. And so when I watch this offense, I see a guy who's calling his offense. He's not necessarily trying to speak to the personnel that's on the field.
Yeah, that's tough because I would like to know what kind of plays Logan would like to see more of. I've been texting a little bit with him, not to like spill out private conversations, but they're football conversations. And we were talking a little bit about Adam Humphries. And there's a play, I think it's on the first drive. No, it was the second drive of the game where Heinicke completely misses a wide open, easy, over the ball, 30-yard gain. Humphries just gets, he's butt naked up the seam. He had pants on, but he was wide open, right? Just so open up the seam. And it's the kind of throw that every quarterback in the league makes because it's right in front of you. Like, it's hard to miss the guys that are over the ball because that's where your vision typically is either centered or is in your peripheral. It's real, like, you got to really be focused on, laser focused on outside guys to miss someone that wide open over the middle. And especially if you're, you know, you're looking to that side of the field where he comes from, like, you should see him be like, wow, okay, no one near that guy. I'm going to go back to him. And it's the kind of thing where if Logan's diagnosis or Logan's prescription is you'd like to see him scheme more guys open, get more guys open, get different guys involved. Well, that's hard to do if your quarterback only sees certain guys or only sees certain parts of the field. If he's locked in on outside guys, scheming up stuff over the middle is asking him to fail. And that's why, based off of the play calls, Logan also really has some questions about what Scott Turner thinks about Taylor Heinicke.
It might be because he doesn't have a ton of confidence in Heinicke, he doesn't have a ton of confidence in the playmakers, and it's kind of forcing him back into a more conservative shell, because it was the same kind of thing last year, too. Not until they had a consistent starter at quarterback did the offense start opening up a little bit, and Alex Smith was at the helm, and maybe he felt more comfortable with that. But people throw the word regression around. I think he's regressed a little bit in terms of how aggressive and how creative he's being. I think he can grow out of that. I think that's in his skill set, because he showed it a little bit last year, but it doesn't seem to be turning that way at the moment.
I feel for play callers when they don't have something on the play sheet that they feel confident in. And I feel like that's where Scott Turner is. Not to say that he's above reproach, not to say that he couldn't theoretically do a better job. And I trust Logan's insight more than I trust mine, because he played 8 years in the league with some of the very best offensive minds in it, on some incredibly productive offenses with some incredible players. Like, Logan was in Atlanta for a year, but it was the year that Kyle Shanahan was there and Matt Ryan won MVP. So, like, he's been around really good offense and understands really good offense. He was a guy that made his career on his intelligence as a football player, and is a guy who understood the big picture. But at the end of the day, like, if you're Scott Turner and you're looking at your play sheet and you have no idea which one of those plays are the ones that Taylor Heinicke can go out and execute, you're not going to be super aggressive. You're not going to give complicated reads. You're not going to give a play with a bunch of options. You're just going to get the ball out quick, get in the hands of your playmakers, and hope something good happens. And you're going to matriculate the ball down the field. And you're going to be selective with your shot plays. Because here's the other thing. It's not like they don't call shot plays. Heinicke missed about four of them on Sunday. So when you talk about a lack of aggression, it's not like you just want to keep throwing deep for the sake of throwing deep, because you feel like your quarterback can't make those throws. And in fact, he often misses defenders, and all of a sudden you're looking at 50-50 balls or 80-20 balls for the defender. There's one that he just misreads completely, throws deep for McLaurin, and Terry makes a hell of a play to make sure that's an incompletion, not an interception. So if you're dealing with that as a play caller, it's really hard to be aggressive if you can't trust your quarterback to turn down the shot. There's a lot, and this was the thing, you know, going back to when Cousins was here, or when Alex Smith was here. There were shots available that they didn't take. The opposite problem is true at times with Heinicke. There are shot plays called, deep routes there, where you're hoping you get the right coverage, and even if it's not there, Heinicke's going to take that shot anyway. And those are, you know, if it's 3rd and 15, it's an arm punt. Who cares? But you can't do that stuff on 1st and 2nd and 10, or 2nd and 5, even worse. Like, that's, you call a shot on 2nd and 5 because 3rd and 5 is manageable, not because you need to have the shot. There's strategy, there's trust, there's all kinds of things that go into calling an offense, and it's a rough go for Scott Turner right now, because watching Heinicke's, he's all over the place. On the defensive side, here's what Logan had to say about their performance Sunday against Kansas City.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm probably in the minority here, but I actually felt pretty positive about the defense leaving that game. I know that sounds insane, but I thought defensive line did a good job generating some pass rush, good pressures. Kind of, they won battles that they should win, which what you would expect from that group. I was actually very impressed with Jamin Davis playing linebacker. I thought he did a good job in coverage, looked better in run fits, and made some kind of flash plays where you get to see his athleticism. I thought the back end, generally speaking, did a good job, better job than I've seen of, like, matching cover concepts. Obviously, there was a couple times in man-to-man where William Jackson III lost his matchup. But, you know, he's kind of going through his own growing pains here in D.C., so hopefully he gets that corrected. But all in all, thought the defense looked pretty sharp. You know, obviously that sounds crazy because they give up 31 points, but when you got an offense like Kansas City's that's so potent, you know, like, I think that's a pretty good performance.
I actually 100% agree with Logan here. I thought that live, and as I've watched the game back a little bit, like, I have nothing that's changed my opinion on this. I think the defense actually played well on Sunday, until they just got tired because they were on the field a ton, because the offense didn't give them anything. It's really hard to just keep going out there against maybe the best offense in football when it's right, and just keep be like, you know, we got nothing on offense. Let's just see what we can do. Like, that's tough. Like, it's their job, but that's tough. And it's also just the law of averages. You give Patrick Mahomes enough opportunities, he's going to score. And especially when, you know, it's simple things like Montez Sweat jumping off sides is a massive thing. Like, you get off the field there, you hold them to a field goal there. Like, you're holding this Kansas City offense under 30. That's really hard to do. Especially when you lose time of possession and you lose the play count by as significantly as Washington did. So I actually was encouraged by the defense. I still don't feel great about it, but there were, like, the defense for the first time pretty much all year was not the biggest problem on Sunday. Offensively, it's hard for me to be like, they're terrible. They don't anything, you know, be super critical, because I also am respectful of the fact that they're missing four pretty important offensive starters. Three really important ones. With all due respect to Sam Cosmi as a rookie. But, like, you're missing your starting tight end, who's one of your key targets, a guy that is kind of the secret key to your whole offense in Curtis Samuel, and your all-pro everything right guard. Those margins are too thin for Taylor Heinicke to overcome. If all those guys are there, Heinicke can do some things. But defensively, I had a little encouragement for the first time all year. Unfortunately, they just couldn't hold up over the course of the full 60 against Mahomes, Hill, Kelsey, etc. When we get back, an important, all-encompassing investigation of humanity. Kinda. That's next. It's Overtime on The Fan.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Wrapping up Overtime here on 106.7 The Fan, the first night of really full NBA action. You had the two openers last night, including the Bucks getting their championship rings in Milwaukee. Wizards a part of the action tonight. They're up 20 at halftime in Toronto, 57-37. 13 for Bradley Beal, 11 for Kyle Kuzma. They've also got the only 3 3-point baskets, 2 for Kuzma, 1 for Beal. So you've got 57 on the board, a 20-point lead, and you went 3 of 13 from 3. That is a good sign for the defense of the Washington Wizards. Fred VanVleet, he said, leading the way for Toronto with 12. Other local sports this evening, DC United just on the board. Nigel Roberta, right-footed shot, to go up 1-0 on New England. New England at the top of the table in MLS. United in sixth. It is a really tight table as DC United pushes for the playoffs. So that's awesome. Good for them at Audi Field tonight. So 1-0 in the 54th minute for DC United. Those are the two local games tonight. Full NBA slate. All the early games about to come to a close. If you're a League Pass person, it's going to be fun to bounce around on that tonight. Vic.
What's going on,
Craig? Sir, through no fault of your own, as we are about to get into, I'm not even going to say you were late, because that feels like an indictment of you.
Right.
You were pushed behind your scheduled arrival time tonight.
Correct.
What happened, man?
I received a phone call around 5:30, 5:45, as our show starts at 6:30. My wife calls me and says, I locked my keys in my car.
Ooh, no.
I can't go anywhere. I'm stuck. I think she was in Calverton. So it was.
Where is Calverton?
I have no idea where that is. It's somewhere like near Laurel, maybe 10, 15 minutes away from Laurel. It's somewhere out of my area. But uh-huh. from where I live in Upper Marlboro area. So it's like a 45, 50-minute trip. You know, if you include the Beltway traffic, it could be like an hour. So I actually was fortunate enough to have her mother, my mother-in-law, meet me halfway so I could give her the keys so that she can relay it to my wife. But the crazy thing about this is, I mean, it happens. I guess from
these
time to time.
Do happen.
It's gonna
I have
happen.
Locked my keys in my car before. It's not a good time.
Yeah, it's awful and you feel embarrassed and you have to rely on other people to help you. But the thing about this is, this is the third time that this has happened in about a four-month span.
The third?
The third time. And I'm to the point where I'm like, is this really happening? Like, I don't even know how to react to this. Like, is this normal?
No, it's not normal.
It's not.
So for a number of reasons. One, a lot of cars now actually, they prevent you from locking your keys in your car because the car won't lock with the keys inside, or like some kind of alarm will go off if you try to do something mm-hmm. that you know, says like, hey, the keys, it's like the keys are inside the car.
Right.
So that's, they've prevented that. So one solution to your problem here is to get your wife a new car. That seems extreme, but it's on the table.
I mean, she has a 2008 Chevy Cobalt, so
why? What more could you want?
Right. I feel like it's in good condition, but I just don't understand how this stuff happens. Like, I'm just trying to think from her perspective.
What is like? How does this happen? Because for a 2008 Chevy Cobalt, you we're talking an auto lock situation, or she has to use the key to get in and out of the car.
Well, the thing is, when she leaves, she opens the door and she hits the button on the inside where you have to lock and unlock. So she hits lock on the inside, then closes it. And then at that point, the door is locked.
She's like, oh,
and you walk
no.
away. But the thing, right, so, exactly. She actually left it in the ignition today. She left it in the ignition. That's incredible. I can't believe it.
That's real bad. We definitely need to shore up the process here. Hey, turn off the car, immediately keys in pocket.
Right.
And then you get out of the car, take the keys out of your pocket, lock it back in the pocket.
Yeah.
Or in your hands, like some kind of confirmation there on your body. I have definitely done that before. And the worst thing is when you can see them.
Oh,
when you and this hasn't happened to me in a long, long time. But same kind of thing. You lock it. And I feel like there's something that happens when you don't have that auto lock situation. Because my first car was like that. And I definitely, that was the only car that I've ever locked keys in. And there's just that moment where you kind of are doing the pat down as you close the door, and you see right as you get the door close,
yeah,
of them sitting on the seat. And you just feel
helpless,
like the biggest doofus that's ever walked on the face of the
right.
earth.
Right. Oh my gosh. Well,
God bless your wife.
She feels so bad right now. I mean, I completely understand how frustrated it is, you know, but
yeah, it's one of those where like first job, get her the key. Second job, comfort. Third job, when she's come down a little more emotionally settled, honey, we got to talk about your process.
Right.
So Vic, that's my advice to you. Thanks to Mike Preda for coming on the show. Thanks to Michael Phillips for coming on the show. Vic, great stuff, sir. Good luck with all of that.
Thank you.
This has been Overtime. Tech Talk Live is next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it
in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.